Noah did not reveal profound truths when he planted grapes immediately upon emerging from the ark, but he did perhaps reveal the secret of his sadness. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah episode 182, Grapes, Wine, and Veritas. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It is a well-known Latin maxim, in vino veritas, in wine, truth. But what is its origin and what does it actually mean? An interesting article on the website of the University of Gastronomic Sciences of Palenzo by Jeremy Parzin tells us the following. Quote, "To my knowledge, all concur that the Latin expression is an adaptation of the Greek en oinoi aletheia. And here's where it gets interesting. Whereas veritas means truth or reality in Latin, aletheia has a slightly different meaning in Greek. It's generally translated as disclosure." And then he adds, "It's generally believed that in ancient Greek, the meaning of the expression was perceived as inebriated people are more likely to be talkative, and not inebriated people are more likely to tell the truth. It's also likely that the ancient Romans perceived an irony in the expression, perhaps because of their contact with the culture of ancient Greece, or perhaps based on their observation of human nature. This would seem to be borne out by Horace, who wrote, quid non ebrietas designat, operta recludit. In other words, is there anything that inebriation doesn't reveal? It shows hidden things. It's highly plausible that when the Romans uttered the expression in vino veritas, it was with a wink, as if to say, people sure gab a lot when they have been drinking, but they hardly tell the truth." And then he adds, "Philologically speaking, a better translation of the Latin expression in vino veritas might be the following. Hidden thoughts are revealed in wine." End quote. If this is the case, then the maxim may be a lot closer to its parallel in Hebrew, Nichnas Yayin Yatzah Sod. When wine enters, a secret goes out. We bear this in mind as we consider the first case of drunkenness in the Torah, and we consider what secret it reveals. This occurs immediately after the flood in the continuation of the story of Noah. The verse in Hebrew reads as follows. Vayachal Noach ish ha'adama vayita karam. The final phrase in the verse is easily translated. And he, meaning Noah, planted a karam, a vineyard. But the first part of the verse, Vayachal Noach, is a bit ambiguous. The standard translation is, he began. Or as the Sefaria translation renders it, Noah, the tiller of the soil, was the first to plant a vineyard. This is indeed the reading of the medieval exegete Nachmanides, who, based on this verse, suggests that in the antediluvian era, vineyards did not exist in the way that they do now. A single vine might be grown for its fruit, but it was Noah, immediately after the flood, immediately after exiting the ark, that planted grapes first and foremost for the purpose of producing wine. For the great medieval sage Rashi, however, the verb vayachel can refer not to beginning or invention, but rather to chol, profane. Noach, for Rashi, profaned himself by planting a vineyard first when he ought to have focused on the sustenance of the world. However we read it, what both approaches seem to have in common is that Noah, rather than focusing on grain, on bread, sought first and foremost to create wine, apparently because he wished to embrace inebriation. And, as I have suggested before in an article in Mosaic, the point is that Noah has seen all that he knew, all lives on earth destroyed. He responds, not by embracing life, but by seeking to forget death and destruction. What we discover with Noah is wine, drink, drunkenness as a form of inebriation. If the original Greek version of the maxim that gave us in vino veritas was that people talk a lot when they were drunk, Noah, in fact, revealed in his inebriation that he wished to talk to no one. He wished to drink by himself and to escape the pain of the destruction that he had observed. Drink as escapism. Of course, this does not mean that the Torah rejects wine. As we have mentioned, wine still serves at the center of Jewish celebrations and sanctifications. but the story of Noah is indeed relevant to the mitzvot that we are discussing, the laws of the Nazirite, the Nazir, because interestingly, one who takes on the vows of the Nazir is forbidden not only to drink wine, but also to eat grapes. And at first glance, this would seem difficult to understand. Grapes themselves, like any other fruit, do not produce inebriation. And yet, Numbers 6, verse 3, tells us, "Va'navim lachim viveshim lo yochel," neither fresh grapes nor dried ones shall he eat. One can, of course, suggest that here the Torah seeks to ensure that the Nazir will not come close to any wine-producing product, lest the ingestion of wine itself result. But one can also suggest that symbolically what is taking place here is a reversal of the decisions made by Noah upon his exit from the ark. Just as Noah, in planting grapes rather than grain or other sustaining food items, highlighted his desire to engage in escapism and avoid the aspects of life that he ought to have embraced, the Nazir, in avoiding even grapes, reflects that he or she has learned from Noah's mistakes, and while undergoing the period of Nazirite observance known as Nizirut, the Nazir will avoid escapism and seek to focus on life, on God, and on one's fellow human beings. Noah did not reveal profound truths when he planted grapes immediately upon emerging from the ark, but he did perhaps reveal the secret of his sadness, an irony because he had been named Noach, an appellation that refers to consolation, an expression by those that gave him life, that his life was seen as a consolation, an encouragement, a source of hope in the face of life's difficulties. Whereas he himself, having seen the entire world disappear, having experienced desolation, sought only the consolation of drink. Of course, in general in Jewish life, the Nazirite rules do not apply. Not only are grapes eaten, but wine is blessed. And when, as per one prominent Jewish tradition, the beginning of the Kiddush is recited, and those listening joyously exclaim L'chaim, to life, we could say that over we know is veritas. A profound truth is expressed, that life is not to be avoided, but embraced and made holy. And therein, as one says L'chaim, one discovers the essence of Jewish joy. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.